Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Welcome, my friends, to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of Elder David Wise, my good and learned friend. He's the pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road in Ackerman, Mississippi. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We also meet together every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. Again, that's at 6 p.m., La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, every Wednesday. You can also go to the Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, and ask for notifications to be notified when we live stream our services, which we do at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning when we meet, and also at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening service. We want you to join in with us. You can go to our website that services this broadcast, gospel-of-grace.com. Please notify us, contact us via that website. We would love to hear from you. And also, avail yourselves of the resources. There's frequently asked questions, a church locator, some wonderful links and articles, and some archived messages. You can go back and listen if you've missed out. Now, as I sit and record this, I realize that you'll probably not be listening to it until after Election Day. Well, I'm here to tell you, I know I'm praying right now for our nation and for the elections, and I know for whom I will vote. But I can tell you this, my friends, no matter who wins, our hope, our salvation, our sustenance, our protection ultimately comes from the Lord and not from the White House. We don't have our hopes hung on the Supreme Court. We don't lean upon our Congress. No, my friends, we fall into the everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With that in mind, we hope to bring you a message this morning titled, It's So Complex, It's Simple. And hopefully after this hymn, we'll be right back with this morning's message. Thank you so much for staying tuned with us here at the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Again, I'm Joe Nettles. I welcome you back. And I'm turning my Bible to Psalms 8. And the psalmist David, and I can only imagine in my mind's eye, him lying upon a hilltop, tending his father's sheep, staring up at the stars and the moon and the heavens above, absolutely in wonder of the cosmological wonders that lie before his eyes. He was made to cry out, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. He went on to say, When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Here David said, What I look at in utter amazement at this moment is nothing more than the very work of your fingertips, because you're such a great and mighty God. You know, some wonderful questions were raised in Job chapter 38. The Lord here asking these questions of Job after Job, if not blatantly, had kind of around the bend kind of way questioned and challenged God. In verses 4 through 6 of Job 38, the Lord asked Job the questions, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Of course, Job had no answer for these questions. He had no answer for why the universe exists, how the earth was created, how it's sustained. A little further on in Job 38, verses 12 through 14, the questions were asked of Job, Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as a clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Here the Lord is asking Job, How is it that you see the sun going around this earth? And we know that it's the earth that goes around the sun. It is turned as clay to the seal, a circular orbit. Well, taking into consideration these astounding principles, I want to try to deliver you a message today and in further weeks to come titled, It's So Complex, It's Simple. That's right, something so complex that absolutely boggles the human mortal mind, that it must lead us to a simple conclusion, and that is that the Lord is the Creator. And I, my friends, know that Lord to not only just be the Jehovah God of old, but also in the person of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I look at an article I found on Forbes magazine that really stirred my mind to this, and it's regarding a fine-tuned universe. If you get a chance, you can look it up. It's by the senior scientific contributor for Forbes magazine. His name is Ethan Siegel. And the concept is that our universe is finely tuned. And if you can show that something is finely tuned, it should lead you to the a conclusion that there was someone to finely tune it, that there was a creator, one who made the situations in this universe such that we can live here. So our universe is in a state of unstable equilibrium. That means it's evidence of it being finely tuned. Now, what do I mean by a state of unstable equilibrium? Well, he gives a couple of examples, and I'll pass them on here to you today. They're good examples. Imagine you're looking at a hill with a peak at the top of the hill, and this hill is surrounded by valleys. Now, imagine, if you will, on top of that peak of that hill, there's a ball, and it's bouncing precariously at the top of the hill on that narrow peak. Now, we would expect the ball to be at the bottom of the hill, wouldn't we? Settling into the furrows of the valleys. Once it bounced around a little bit and settled in down there in the bottom of the valley, it would be in a state of stable equilibrium. Now, to find that same ball staying precariously on top of the hill, that would be contrary to our reasoning. It would be contrary to our experience. That's an example of unstable equilibrium. It is highly unlikely. And if you saw that, one would be compelled to seek out an explanation, would you not? Another example. Say that I and you, we both randomly pick out a number between 1 and 1 million. Okay? So I'm not going to tell you my number, and you're not going to tell me your number right off of the bat. So I'm just going to randomly pick a number between 1 and 1 million, and you do the same. Now, once we've revealed our numbers, we'll subtract my number from your number. Now, there are four expectations we should be able to find regarding the results here after we've subtracted one from the other. The first expectation is that there is a very strong chance that the difference will yield a six-digit number. That's understandable. The second expectation would be there's a better than average chance to get a negative number and approximately a 1 in 3 chance to end up with a positive number. Again, that's understandable. The third expectation is that it would be a very, very, very small chance that the difference between those numbers will be a 3-digit number or fewer. It would be highly unlikely for the difference to come out to 822 or 183. And the fourth expectation we would come to is if the numbers were to match exactly, one would reasonably assume an extraordinary reason, like you cheated, or do you have the ability to read minds, as the chances against what just happened would be absolutely astronomical. Now, let's apply that reasoning to the state of our universe. Now, I want you to keep in mind a verse of Scripture we find in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. There, years and years and years, just thousands of years before science came to realize that the universe is ever expanding, there in this prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, he tells us that the heavens are stretched out like a curtain, and the Lord spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Now, you keep that in mind. We have the universe's expansion rate. All right, we're talking about the expansion of the universe. That means how quickly and at what rate the universe is expanding. Now, I can't tell you everything I'd like to know about that, but I do know that astronomers, scientists, mathematicians have calculated the universe's expansion rate. Also, though I can't fully explain it to you because I'm not a scientist, but we know that they've also calculated figures for the sum total of all the forms of mass and energy in this universe. Of course, they've extrapolated that. They've calculated that. I mean, we're talking about the amounts of radiation, neutrinos, normal matter, dark matter, antimatter, dark energy. Sounds like we're in a Star Trek episode, doesn't it? But here, if you take all of the forms of energy and mass together and you compare it with the universe's expansion rate, you would need to find a great balance there. Okay? So I'm going to quote for you from this article. He said, Einstein's general theory of relativity gives us an intricate relationship between the expansion rate of the universe and the sum total of all the different forms of energy in it. If you know what your universe is made of and how quickly it starts expanding initially, you can predict how it will evolve with time, including what its fate will be. Now, I'm going to pause in the middle of his quote here, and I'm going to point out for you that the gentleman who authored this believes in the Big Bang Theory. And you've probably heard of that. That's the theorem that billions of years ago, a walnut-sized mass exploded and expanded like poof, immediately into our universe as we know it now. Now, I personally believe this universe was spoken into existence by the Creator God some 6,000 to 7,000 years ago, according to the amount of time we see in the timeline of Scripture. But this gentleman believes in the Big Bang Theory, and so just keep that in mind as we look at this quote. A universe with too much matter and energy for its expansion rate will recollapse in short order. A universe with too little matter and energy in relation to its expansion rate will expand into oblivion before it's possible to even form an atom. Yet not only has our universe neither recollapsed nor failed to yield atoms, but even today, some, as he says here, 13.8 billion years after the Big Bang, those two sides of the equation appear to be perfectly in balance. If we extrapolate this back to a very early time, say 1 nanosecond after the hot Big Bang, again, he believes in the Big Bang, so go with me here. We carry on. We find that not only do these two sides have to balance, but they have to balance to an extraordinary precision. The universe's initial expansion rate and the sum total of all the different forms of matter and energy in the universe not only need to balance, but they need to balance to more than 20 significant digits. It's like guessing the same 1 to 1 million number as me 3 times in a row, and then predicting the outcome of 16 consecutive coin flips immediately afterwards. Now, my friends, you can see from that quote how inconceivable it would be for us to guess the same 1 to 1 million number 3 times in a row, and then one of us flip a coin 16 times and the other one guess it consecutively correct. Nobody would bet their house on that. No one would bet their bank account on being able to do that. And if that ever was done, you would be absolutely astounded and you would say, this is some kind of black magic, this is some kind of witchcraft, or this is some kind of extraordinary supernatural thing that is taking place here. But yet, my friends, the balance of this universe stays in balance. Why? Because God created it that way. I want to look at a few other examples of absolute fine-tuning of this universe. Now, I'm not trying to boggle your mind with all these scientific numbers, these astronomical numbers. But my friends, I want you to stop and realize that these things have been calculated. Science has agreed upon these conclusions. Should that lead us to a notion that this universe has been finely tuned? I believe it has. And if it has, my friends, there had to be a fine tuner. All this didn't just accidentally happen by happenstance. Let's look at some other examples. The ratio of electrons to protons, if it was deviated, 1 part in 10 to the 37th power. Can you imagine a 1 with 37 zeros behind it, how large, immense that number is? It makes a million look like a pebble of sand. But yet, in 1 part, if 1 part of that ratio, 1 in 10 to the 37th power, of the ratio of electrons to protons was altered, this universe could not exist. Look at the ratio of electromagnetic force in relation to gravity. If you had a deviation in that ratio, in one point out of 10 to the 40th power, this universe could never have existed. Again, we've talked about the expansion rate of the universe. The numerical ratio for that is if it was 1 part variance or deviation in 10 to the 55th power. That's 1 with 55 zeros, people. This universe couldn't exist. The mass density of the universe. If it deviated 1 part in 10 to the 59th power, that's a 1 with 59 zeros behind it. Just one little deviation, 1 part in that, then this universe would not be finely tuned to the point where we could live and exist. Now, the cosmological constant, that is referring to the energy density of space. And again, I can't tell you everything about that. I'm a registered nurse and a pastor. I'm not an astrologist. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a physicist. But I can read the conclusions of people who are astronomers and mathematicians and physicists. Now, this energy density of space, this cosmological constant, if there was a deviation in that number, 1 part out of 10 to the 120th power, again, a 1 with 120 zeros behind it, just take one of that and alter it, this universe would cease to exist. It could not have been formed. These numbers represent the maximum deviation from the accepted values that would either prevent the universe from existing now, not having matter, or be unsuitable for any form of life. Okay, let's look at another example. We're going to read you a quote from an astronomer, Martin Rees, and not just any astronomer. He's been the Astronomer Royal for the United Kingdom since 1995 and has been president of the Royal Society of science. I'll read you a quote of his. Another finely tuned constant is the strong nuclear force, and that's the force that holds atoms together. Protons, neutrons, electrons. Okay? The strong nuclear force. He said the sun burns by fusing hydrogen and higher elements together. When the two hydrogen atoms fuse, 0.7% of the mass of the hydrogen is converted into energy. Now, if the amount of matter converted were slightly smaller, say 0.6% instead of 0.7%, a proton could not bond to a neutron and the universe would consist only of hydrogen. That wouldn't do, would it? No, it wouldn't. I carry on with his quote. With no heavy elements, there would be no rocky planets and no life. If the amount of matter converted were slightly larger, say 0.8% as compared to where it is now, 0.7%, fusion would happen so readily and rapidly that no hydrogen would have survived from the Big Bang. Again, there would be no solar systems and no life. The number must lie exactly between 0.6% and 0.8%. End quote. Now, that was a quote, again, from Martin Rees, a very noted astronomer. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you, Martin Rees is an atheist. But coming to that conclusion, he himself should be able to see that there must be a creator, there must be a fine tuner. Let's look at some quotes from some other famed scientific minds. Fred Hoyle, extremely well known, British astrophysicist and cosmologist, quote, says, "A common sense interpretation of the facts suggests that a super intellect," for those of you who don't know what that means God or the creator. Again, I'll read it from the beginning. "A common sense interpretation of the facts suggests that a super intellect has monkeyed with physics, as well as with chemistry and biology, and that there are no blind forces worth speaking about in nature. The numbers one calculates from the facts seemed to me so overwhelming as to put this conclusion almost beyond question." Another quote from Sir Arthur Eddington, astrophysicist, the very one who defeated the accepted dogma in the scientific community in the early 1900s and even before, that the universe was eternal, that it just always has been. Now, I believe that God always has been, but people who would deny God think, well, the universe always has been. Well, Sir Arthur Eddington disproved that. He showed and proved about the expansion of the universe and that if the universe is expanding in such a way, that it must have had an origin, a genesis. He proved that, and now that is accepted dogma, that the universe must have had a beginning. It is from that notion that people started coming up with the Big Bang and other theories. My friends, I believe in the Genesis account. So Arthur Eddington stated, quote, "The idea of a universal mind or logos would be, I think, a fairly plausible inference from the present state of scientific theory." Oh, you reckon, Sir Arthur? I do too. Another astronomer, well known, George Greenstein, stated this, "As we survey all the evidence, the thought insistently arises that some supernatural agency, or rather, capital A, agency, must be involved. Is it possible that suddenly, without intending to, we have stumbled upon scientific proof of the existence of a supreme being? Was it God who stepped in and so providentially crafted the cosmos for our benefit?" That was his question. Dr. Greenstein's question was well asked, well pondered. And yes, my friends, there is a creator, and he is God. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, it says of Jesus Christ, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That means our Creator God existed before the creation, hence the fine tuner doing the fine tuning. "And by him all things consist." That term consist means held together, made to exist. My friends, this place was created for you and for me, created for God's children on which to dwell. It's not foolishness. It's not obstinacy. It's not pride and vanity, hubris that leads me to that conclusion. No, it's the Word of God. I close in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, when speaking about why this universe exists the way it does and for whom it exists. It exists for you and for me, given us by the very providence and blessing and grace of Almighty God. And though it is cursed with sin at this present time, oh, my friends, there is a much more glorious place awaiting on the other side of this universe, where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. He who created this will come and destroy it, because there is something better awaiting the people for whom he created this universe. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, reads thusly, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Without his fine-tuning this universe, friends, it would not be inhabitable. But here we are, as testimonies of the creative and consistent and upholding power of Almighty God. I thank my Lord Jesus Christ for these truths. Hopefully we'll be able to carry on with this subject about it being so complex, it's simple, when we speak with you again. Until that time, may the Lord's rich blessings be upon you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.